Blog Talk Radio.
like that song. Yeah, you talking about Hello from Another Side, right? Yeah. No, like, you understand me.
What
I just don't want you to leave me.
Hop in your Benz.
Yeah.
The money be calling again and again and again. Don't wanna do nothing but win. Starting to think that I'm moving too fast again and again. Told me you love.
Told me you love.
Show me your love.
Show me your love.
Let me see that you love.
See that you love.
Let me feel that you love.
Let me feel your love.
You show me, girl.
Me.
They got love for a thug. Before we stay down, we go up.
Ooh.
Ain't no limit inside of this world.
Ooh, yeah.
I'ma run this money up with you.
Yeah.
Tell me go win, I'm fin too. You don't do the shit that a bitch do. I'ma show you all what a brick do. Come and hop in the whip when I slide through. Trap house with them built, that's a drive through. Got that money coming in all different ways. Spinning like I'm from Morocco. They can't see up in my tension. Why you all up in my business? I can show you how to get it. You show me your intention. Like a first lot of drugs, I flip it. Just tell me where the shit is. Feeling like stroke packs coming through the mail. I done made a whole lot of binges. Heard them say that they ain't feeling me, nigga. Wanna beef and I'ma go and silly bend at them niggas. But you know that I live like fuck them niggas. Done died, it ain't shit for the touch them niggas. Got a show for a check, got a rush to get it. Northside in the slums, I be thugging niggas. Young boy fucked up, I don't trust these niggas. Fuck them me and you, we can go and get it. Covered up in Gucci, before we hit the block, hold on, cut on my song. When I pass through the north, let the window down. Out the door, cutting up, show 'em I'm strong. I already know I wanna fuck when we pass by time and we make it home. Yeah, you already know I don't play around. You can take your clothes off and turn around. Hop in your Benz.
Yeah.
The money be calling again and again and again. Don't wanna do nothing but win. Starting to think that I'm moving too fast again and again. Told me you love.
Told me you love.
Show me your love.
Show me your love.
Let me see that you love.
Let me see that you love.
Let me feel that you love.
Feel your love.
You show me, girl.
Yeah.
They got love for a thug.
Love for
before
a
we stay down, we go up.
Yeah.
Ain't no limit inside of this world.
Ooh.
I'ma run this money up with you. Tell me go win, I'm fin too. You don't do the shit that a bitch do. I'ma show you all what a brick do. Come and hop in the whip when I slide through. Trap house with them built, that's a drive through. Got that money coming in all different ways. Spinning like I'm from Morocco. Slow down. But you better not panic when it go down. Had to tell my mama I'm 10 toes down. But you know I keep a gun every time that I roll. But you already know how I come on stand down. And you know I'ma die if them niggas play around. Hide from the cameras, I ain't going outside. In my face, girl, you better not tell no lie. I'ma leave like I'm wrong if you know I'm right. Yeah. Money coming fast and slow. That's our time we go.
We go.
And you'll never know. Ooh. Hop in your Benz.
Yeah.
The money be calling again and again and again. Don't wanna do nothing but win.
Nothing but win. Yeah.
Starting to think that I'm moving too fast again and again. Told me you love.
Told me you love.
Show me your love.
Show me your love.
Let me see that you love.
Let me see.
Let me feel that you love.
Let me feel your love.
You show me, girl.
Show me, girl.
They got love for a thug. Before we stay down, we go up.
Ooh.
Ain't no limit inside of this world.
Yeah.
I'ma run this money up with you.
I
tell me go win, I'm fin too. You don't do the shit that a bitch do.
Yeah.
I'ma show you all what a brick do. Come and hop in the whip when I slide through. Trap house with them built, that's a drive through. Got that money coming in all different ways. Spinning like I'm from Morocco. Yeah. Feel like I'm from the back door. Yeah.
If words was crack, we would have the most potent shit around. If words is weed, then we got them by the pound. Get high with us tonight as Drip the Mic has found the perfect host to bring our good folks that sound. Every Tuesday it goes down. Your man Hezekiah has broken ground on the Drip the Mic network and he brings the Author's Lounge. This is where we meet and greet. Man, Drip the Mic don't compete. No need to be consumed with greed or dishonesty. We lead, uplift, and discuss as our need is to bring verbal muscle to the struggle and hustle to keep dropping digital and paperbacks for the world to read. The Author's Lounge, going up on a Tuesday. As he runs the mic, quarterback-like genius when he writes, and he picks his words Tuesday. this script could not have been better written in a movie. A good friend, Hezekiah, has moved in, then committed to moving in our circle and blessing us with his proven pen. Prioritize tuning in 6 p.m. Central and Eastern at 7 p.m. and listen in, because we be going in, and we would love for you to share this experience. Delirious shenanigans accompanied with verbal adjectives, praising words like they are gods, broken down into nouns, verbs, predicates, and adjectives. Since I learned of the days when, like baseball cards, our melanin displayed us as property for trade, I prayed never again will we be a slave. So I behave as if I'm a human paraphrase. Learn to enunciate, ad lib, and use my scribe to communicate. And today, the Artist Lounge provides a stage for like-minded kings and queens of the literary community, other artists, and those who create to explore. The Drip to Mic Hotel has opened the doors, as the next 2 hours you endure will be free of commercials, non-judgmental, and impartial, with Hezzy holding it down like Thurgood Marshall. Ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Author's Lounge with your host and my man, Hezzy, in the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate that, AZ. Thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Author's Lounge, presented to you by Drip the Mic. To call in, 646-378-0355, or press 1 to speak. Tonight, we got a great show ahead of us, man. Some amazing women. You know, they always told me that, you know, women run the world. And I'm starting to believe that, man. And our first guest is from Chicago. And I met her. She came in my inbox and we chit-chat, and she was like, I want to come on the show. And I was like, cool. And she sent me her bio, and I was like, wow. It was just so amazing. And just a woman doing all that, that was like just something else. And so without further ado, I want to introduce Samantha Swain.
Hey, that's me. Hey.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the Author's Lounge.
Thank you, sir.
So how was your day today?
You know, it gets started on a high note, which I'm thankful for. I can't complain about it. But the days seem to be residual from last year, 2020. You know, but that's okay. That's okay. We just keep it moving onward and forward.
Well, that is a great accomplishment. You know what I mean? And, you know, my day was okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, just okay. Nothing spectacular.
Oh.
But I was going to read your bio, but I'm not.
Okay.
I'm going to let you tell us all about you.
Okay. Well, my name is Samantha Swain. I am from Illinois, a suburb of Chicago. And solo, I write true crime, which is hard in itself because you have to know a lot of laws and bylaws and the crimes that they do, so forth and so on. But at the beginning of 2020, I became what one of the team members, writers, have coined me as a collaborative coordinator. So I put people together who want to tell their story. which you wouldn't believe is, in my opinion, is great. People have things to say. And the first book out the rank was on domestic violence. People automatically think it's men against women. However, there's women against men. There's adults against children. There is those who are physical and mental abusers. And the one that nobody can seem to fathom, another form of domestic violence, is financial. There are people
who
are going through that. And my heart went out to them because I'm thinking they have to be shut in, locked down with their abusers. And, but, you know, onward and upward, there's also narcissism. I can barely say that word, but depression and regrets. There is, now this is interesting, the lifestyle of BDSM. I won't go into that, but it is a lifestyle. People live that way. And just for example, people live the poly life. There are three of them, a husband and two wives, you know, or however they put that together, they put it together. And what has become interesting, the latest anthology is He Said, She Said. Basically, go ahead.
Now, collaboration. What do you mean by collaboration?
I come up with a topic, and I get the writers at various stages to chime in to see what types of book they would be interested in writing. And, you know, the last two anthologies, I am humbly proud of, because He Said, She Said, wow, that is an anthology of two writers answering in their way, like 80, 83 questions in their form of understanding. And you would be surprised that people had done a lot of thinking last year, a lot of thinking. They've evolved when it comes to relationships, to me, as they should. You have a male's point of view, and a female's point of view on the same question. And you would, that is going to surprise you. And then the last one, Milk and Honey, that the reason why I came up with that is because Milk and Honey, in historically, I'm choosing my words carefully, historically, Milk and Honey were soothing for a person's ailments, you know, because medicine was not quite readily available for everyone. But people had milk and they had honey. And what that anthology is, I told those who wanted to come in on that, and I said anybody who's anybody can submit poetry on a positive note to soothe everything that they went through for 2020. And wouldn't you know, on a sad note, one of the writer's fiance passed away from a heart attack. And he just, I told him, write about it. You know, if you can't do anything else, you write about it. He said, yeah. He said, I'm going to make her proud. I said, do that. And I told him, keep in mind, I'm the type of person who likes the thought of occupying a bookshelf at a bookstore.
Okay.
Let me get the whole shelf, all anthologies, and I said, keep in mind that this will be everywhere. And I said, so, you know, if you don't mind your poetry being heard, read, or anything like that, this book will be supplying to its readers what you had to say, and you will always be mindful of her. You know, so I had fixed in his mind what it would be like, possibly, and just to make sure that he was aware, and he does not mind. And we came up with a plan for him in honor of her, because she had been kind of ill for a while, but when he said a heart attack, I couldn't believe it. I was stuck. And I mean, because she's maybe a couple of years younger than me, never mind my age, but you know, a heart attack. So maybe because of his real life experience, this book will be number one, because he's living it. Everything that he writes, it's because of her. Hey, if you don't mind sharing it with others, people you don't know, supply it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So
he's going for it.
Okay.
You know, and he's already a poet, unknown, inexperienced. Well, hey, I tell you what, this is what we're going to do. And we came up with a different format specifically for him in this anthology, and it's all in honor of her.
Okay.
He was like, wow, whoa. And I'm honored for him wanting to put words to what he's experiencing.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that he talks to her a lot. And I'm thinking maybe she's watching.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how this goes. But I'm proud of all the anthologies, the writers, and experienced coming together on a particular topic, and how they can write to contribute.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
So what got you into being a writer, into helping others? Because I see that you got a criminal investigation background.
Yes, sir. Well, let me tell you, I don't know how old you are, but, you know, there was a character on a show called What's Happening. And
yeah.
The little sister always put her hand out, and she asked for that quarter. You know, if you don't want me to tell Mama, it's going to cost you a quarter. So my thing was, if you see, I grew up in a family, I'm the only girl. And my thing was, before it was even heard of, if you don't want me to tell, guess what? I won't write about it. And who knew, from small things, you know, even with my grandfather, I had skinned my knee outside of his house. And he said, I come from a very talented family. But, believe it or not, in a talent that I can do, that they wanted me to follow, but I wanted my own thing. So as a little girl, my grandfather told me, why don't you write about it?
Yeah.
Who knew? Who knew that that would be something that would be true? And working in criminal investigation, talk about learning laws, it would be there. And my daughter hates to watch crime stories on TV with me because I can figure it out. People don't realize that what you see on TV actually something that actually happened.
Oh.
Yeah. Who's sitting around making that up? If
yeah.
that was the case. You know, so it is true. It's true. And it hit me one day that there are not enough. Sure, actually, none. No black female writers of true crime. The last female writer of true crime was Agatha Christie, and she was neither young nor black. And so when I sign my name into something, I always put Sam Swain. Granted, I'm always the only female in the room. So when they take attendance and I know what's going to happen, the instructor would say, Sam Swain? And then I would raise my hand. I would say, here. And everybody, you talk about a reaction. Everybody would turn their head to see who this Sam Swain is. See, I was the little girl asking for the quarter. If you didn't want me to write about it, then don't do it.
You was a tomboy.
No, not at all. I just knew how to protect myself. And I didn't have to do that. I have five brothers, eight years behind the youngest boy. So, you know, I didn't have to do too much of anything because it was always done for me.
Yeah.
And not knowing that it would be an interesting adult life that it would lead me to. But that's okay. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Give me the process that you went through when you wrote your first book.
Oh, all of them are through Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have probably five coming through at the same time, only because the formatter that I use was also in an area that was on lockdown because of the pandemic, and so he could not get to his office. And you know, who am I to be mad? And so be it. But in the meantime,
I got a question. Five books coming out?
Yeah, at the same time.
How long did it take you to write these books? Good gracious.
No, listen. That's what makes it anthologies. Mm. Groups of writers come together on a particular topic to write their portion of a book. That they're doing so many pages. And I do have one that a team has come together, and they are writing on PTSD. And people automatically assume that it's military related. Well,
it's not. I got diagnosed with PTSD.
Really?
I did, and it was military related.
See, and people they're so stuck in their beliefs. And each of the anthologies are, whoa. And I've learned after the first one on domestic violence, I've learned a lesson not to read each of the parts because it gets me too involved. Mm-hmm. I don't want to read what you say. Just say it. Just write it. And, I've learned my lesson. And her particular part brought me to tears. I can't fathom, and I can't put the words together. And I said, never again will I read anybody's part. And I won't even read the book of poetry. I know I do write the introductions and the conclusions of all of them. The first three books are true crime on Amazon. But come to find out, Amazon had been hit with 19,000 employees tested positive for the virus.
Because they ain't following none of the protocols. All they were worried about was making money.
I guess so. And I'm like, I just need one person to push enter. That's all I need. But, you know, you have to find your way around certain things.
I'm going to teach you how to press enter and do it yourself.
So, you know, that's been kind of how it's been going literally for since last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be another last year. This year cannot be. I refuse to have another year like last year. That would be unheard of. And I've noticed that through the news, which I don't watch, but supposedly there is the new vaccine is through Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, Lord. They the worst.
Well, and I said, see, they're coming around to, because who's not falling for it are people like us, not mm-hmm. falling for it. They don't, because I personally don't get the flu shot. So you can't tell me that a vaccine that's no longer 100% effective, but you knocked it down to 94%. Well, what about the other six? You see, Johnson & Johnson drags in, catches the attention of us. But we'll see how that's going to go. We'll see.
So what made you want to become an author? What inspired you to write?
Like I said, it was because of my grandfather telling me to write it. You know, you got something to say, write it. But then it became where I worked, you know, and at police headquarters and the criminal investigation department, you know, some of the things that people have gone through based on the choices they've made makes a good book.
Mm-hmm.
Simply put, it makes a good book. So that's where it all started.
Okay, so who is your inspiration? Who inspires you? It ain't got to be an author. It can be anybody.
They're all, not all, but there are some authors who I do follow,
mm-hmm.
but they, you know, this is no longer the generation of Jesse and Angie. We not doing that no more. You know, so you can't watch it and you writing about it. So be it. But I like my lane. I like my lane because there's nobody else in my lane. And I don't drive 18-wheelers, but I tell you, doggone it, I can pull off in this 18-wheeler because nobody's in my lane.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it seems to be going. I'm in the process of moving to Tampa, and I came across some manuscripts that I'm going to have to get to, and it will be a time for that. It will be time for that. But I'm mm-hmm. going to get through these anthologies first.
Like, for me, it's like all the authors nowadays,
mm-hmm.
they haven't studied the art, the craft.
Mm-hmm.
They're more writers than not readers.
True.
I studied, before I even decided to write a book, I studied the craft. I studied the way the authors put together the books. I studied the James Pattersons, the Irk Jerome Dickies, the Alex Haley's on how to write a biography. Every book that I read, it took me someplace.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you about Alex Haley. Wow. He's put a spin on that show. It comes on PBS where they do the ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because of people like him. Because otherwise, we would not have an interest in knowing where anybody comes from. And I have been surprised who has lived a black life.
If he had never wrote Roots, we would have never knew where we came from.
This is so true. And I tell you, two people that nobody realizes or hardly anybody realizes were black, Clark Gable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you, you know, again, I don't know your age, but.
The Boys?
No. Who?
The Boys?
No. Carol Channing.
Okay, I never read any of her books.
Okay, she got hers through the Carol Burnett Show.
Wow.
What looks to be a white lady because she had a platinum wig.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the giveaway was she had full lips and a raspy voice. But see, back in their day, they were the quintessential of being passers. They had to do what they had to do to make the money that they made.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody, and Clark Gable, people did not fully understand why him and the lady on Gone with the Wind, who played the maid, Hattie McDaniel, were
mm-hmm.
such good friends. See, he was used to black people because he was black.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, I'm not a drinker, but for those that are, the drink, the whiskey, Jack Daniel. Okay. Now, I thought this was interesting. The owner of that distillery was not Jack Daniel.
Come on now. Give me some history lessons here.
He was neither Jack nor Daniel. Who he named that liquor after was a slave.
Oh, I didn't know. Tell me something there.
Yeah, by the name of Jack Daniel.
He must have loved some damn Jack Daniel.
Hence, you go to the liquor store, and that's what you see. And I'm like, wow, if people only realized history of what was. And, you know, wow, I've learned a lot over the years. Since 2016, I've learned a lot. Like you say, you study the history and you do the research and you be surprised. And then you start to like your lane. I like my lane as the only female.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of crime writers. There are. They're all male, and they're all white.
Yeah.
But you won't find a black female who signs in as Sam Swain. I just want them to look my way, because here I come. And I may not be on your heels. I'm about to pass you up. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm going to do. And it's just, whoa. That's all I can say.
I want you to check out.
Okay.
It's called Richard Wright, Black Boy.
Okay.
And I want you to read that. He is an amazing author.
I'm looking him up now, but what does he write?
Black Boy. It's Richard Wright. He's the author. And the book he wrote is Black Boy.
That sounds familiar.
It's a good book. I read it in the fourth grade, and I was set off. It just blew my mind.
Wow.
And he never gets any recognition. He's an amazing author. The way he told his story, it actually gave me the motivation to want to be an author when I was, like, in the fourth grade.
Wow. Oh, okay. I'm looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Nathaniel Wright.
Yes.
Okay. Oh.
Yes.
He was born in 1908?
Mm-hmm.
And he died in Paris, France in 1960. You know why Paris, France?
Never heard of it.
You've heard of France?
Oh, yeah, France, yeah.
Okay. It's because there was a time, and I still think that it is, that Paris was, I'm choosing my words carefully, you know, they accepted us.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are there.
Most of the countries over there do accept us.
Yeah. This is true. And
the United States that don't accept us.
You know, there was that singer, female, black, she went to Paris, France. So many went there.
Was it Billie Holiday? No. Josephine Baker once.
There you go. There you go.
I know my history.
And see, she was accepted there.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why. But she looked no different than them. She went according to where she would be accepted. And I can't blame her. I really can't. You know, back then they had to do what they had to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yes. She Clark Gable, his grandson, became the host of Cheaters.
Yeah.
And he looks like his granddad. That's what's scary. And I said, if his hair was black, if he had a certain mannerism, like, he could be his granddad. Not just by name, but by stature. And I come to find out that I don't know, he was a young dude, but I found out that he passed away. How sad. How sad. But see, not everybody from our generation could do what the previous generations had done.
Well, you got to put it like that. They didn't have computers or nothing. So the only thing
right.
they could really use their mind for was to write.
Right. If that. Yeah. Yeah. And I was told that the women were known for going out to the field, squatting down, and pushing, and had a baby.
Wow.
They had a baby in the field.
Mm.
And they would take that baby, and they would wrap the baby, clean it off, and, you know, walk in the house with a baby. And, you know, where were they going to go? What hospital would accept them?
Yeah, you're right.
And there are people like Fiddler or Fiddler that was real. All of that, Alex Haley, the years that it took him to do that, what became an after-school special for my generation,
mm-hmm.
and it was all true.
Okay.
And
well,
go ahead.
Time is ticking down, and I want you to give out all your social media information and where they can find your books. And we definitely going to pick up this conversation.
Yes, sir. I'm on all major social media sites. Facebook.com/ Phoenix76. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter at @OneSamSwain. See, there I go again using Sam. And if a person wanted to email me, they can do SamSwain_PI@yahoo.com. And my books are on Amazon. And like I said, there are, I got about five that's going to be coming through at the same time.
Okay.
And no problem for me. Hey, people are surprising themselves. And I love them for it. I love them for their support, for wanting their voices heard.
Yes, definitely. I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and it's been an honor to talk to you.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, sir.
And you have a great night.
You too.
Yay. That was Miss Samantha Swain, y'all. Now we're going to have this great singer come on to lead us into the break. She's from Appomattox, Virginia, and her voice is powerful. She is one of my closest friends. Oh, my God. Boy, I'm telling you. Whenever I'm going through that, that's who I call to talk to. And vice versa. And we just had a bond since grade school, and it's been amazing. She's always had my corner, regardless if I'm going through or something happened or I feel bad. She's always been in my corner. So, Ms. Christelle Robinson, how are you?
Hello, Zeke. How are you?
I'm good. You ready to make this mic drip?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Go ahead
All
and
right.
do it, girl.
All right. Gotta take a hold of this. Thank you.
go again. That was great. That was great. No, I ain't gonna sing though.
Thank you for coming on the show, Miss Christina.
You did great. Oh my goodness. You did great, great, great.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Miss Christina Robinson, y'all. That's what she is, Christina Robinson. Thank you, and you have a good night.
You have a blessed one, too.
All right, thank you.
All right, talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. I knew.
Hello?
Hey.
Huh? I'm here. Did she call yet?
Okay.
Before we let the singer go, can you tell us where she's, give out her information, where she can be found, the whole nine yards?
She said, okay. She is from Appomattox, Virginia, and she has been singing since grade school. Oh, she's amazing. She is amazing. The caller says she's on the line. You hear me?
I don't see it. Yeah, I hear you, but I don't see her number.
Let me see if she called the right number. Let's see. She says she can hear us.
Is that her?
434.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, y'all.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How is everybody?
We're good. Waiting on you.
Oh, nah.
Yeah, I'm just joking with you. So, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, your name and what you do and little stuff like that.
Well, my name is Kelty, and I write my poetry. I just started putting it on my podcast. It's more so of advocating for women that have struggles with anxiety or depression or any type of mental health issues. It's very easy to get lost in that darkness and forget that you still have some light. So that's what really encourages and inspires me to speak up for some individuals that might feel like they can't speak up for themselves. Hello?
So, yes, I'm here. So what inspired you to write for?
A little bit of everything. I'm diverse when it comes to writing, but I have a podcast on Apple Podcasts, and it's on Spotify, and this app called Anchor, and you can find me, Ascension Poetry by Me. It talks a little bit about everything. Anything can inspire me. If it's a bad day or if it's a good day or I can see somebody going through a situation or a circumstance where I feel I might be able to shed some light, any way that I can be positive, a positive reflection on people, that's what I aim and aspire to be.
Okay, so how long have you been doing your show?
Okay, so I've been doing my podcast for maybe 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
writing poetry and saying it out loud is different. It's very different. When you're writing it, you can still feel it, but when you're talking about it and it's out loud and other people are hearing you, that is a completely different and refreshing feeling. Like, you feel like somebody can relate to you, and that's my goal. If somebody can relate to whatever I'm talking about, then they know that they can get through it. Because when, you know, when you're going through things, you don't feel like you can get through them in that moment. It's like, ah, this and that, it keeps happening, or, you know what I'm saying? So I've been doing my podcast for 2 years now, and I just started playing around with, like, putting it on beats. So that's been really cool.
Okay. So how long have you been doing poetry?
Oh, man. I've been doing poetry since I could remember. Since I was in high school, and high school was just a thing where you remember when y'all used to write letters in high school? So I would just write down on my notepad.
I used to write love letters in high school.
I did too. Did you fold it up real properly in the little origami thing? You got to do it like that. I was writing things down in my notepad, and it was something that I liked. And then as I got older, I realized it was something that I really enjoyed, and then I just started bringing it more to life.
Okay. You know, that's weird. I ain't never heard of a poet from Lynchburg, Virginia. That's different.
Hey, so speaking about Lynchburg actually has a lot of great artists here that may not get the recognition. There are a lot of singers, a lot of writers, a lot of poets, a lot of rappers. I think sometimes it's hard to get the recognition because it might sometimes be based off of who you know. And that's the struggle with getting yourself known, is, you know, making sure that you are inviting the proper audience in, you know, and that you're being received and that you're being appreciated. And sometimes people don't know how to acknowledge and appreciate something good, you know, when it's right there. So there are a lot of great artists in Lynchburg. I want to shout that out.
That's what's up. You know, sometimes you just got to step out on faith.
Totally true.
And if it's a dream and you want to follow that dream, you got to go where that dream leads.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, you got to want it. You know, I mean, that's to be like, well, I'm going to do local. But how bad do you really want?
I think that it's important to start out local and then to branch out. It's important not to forget where you come from, because you need that type of support and that type of feedback. You understand? It's different everywhere. You know, you could go anywhere, and it could be so many people doing the same thing, but they don't have that element that you bring. You understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter where you're at. It just matters who you are and the creativity that you're willing to bring to the table, and the determination is all about that.
Because I know for me, when my first book came out, I shot straight to New York. Boom, see you. I
out of here.
That was my little ticket. I left with 10 books. By the time I made it to Philadelphia, all 10 were sold.
And see, building the platform, too, that does give you different opportunities. You know, once people start hearing you or seeing what you're doing, it does open the door for different types of feedback. I've had somebody in Georgia reach out to me. I've had somebody reach out to me about an audiobook. You know, so once you start putting yourself out there, it's crazy how you can be received. You know what I'm saying? It's all about how you carry yourself and everything that you're willing to do to get to the next step.
So did you ever think that you were going to be a poet?
I'm a really good writer. So I thought maybe I would write books, or maybe I would just write poetry and just make.
What kind of books you like? What kind of books you like to write?
I like to write about reality. I like the realism of things. So, And then I also come from an upbringing of different things. I have singing in my family. I have poets in my family. So I can sing too. So I write music. I write all types of things. So primarily I was focused more on writing. I know I'm good at that. But the first time I did my first spoken word, that's when I knew, like, okay, this is my thing. You know, I think a lot of times in life, people are searching for a thing that fulfills them, and people don't know what their thing is. You know what I'm saying? But once you find that thing, it's no way that you can deny that or run from it. It's like you can breathe, you know, like, okay, this is my purpose. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Absolutely. So once I did my first spoken word, that was it for me. Like, I knew
spoken word and writing to you.
So have you ever been to a spoken word before?
To who?
Have you ever been to a spoken word before?
Well, I watched it on TV. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is the thing about poetry, right? I think that a lot of people equate, like, spoken words, like that thing where you do, you're snapping your fingers and stuff like that. But to actually be up front and to actually witness it, it's incredible to watch how people transform into what they're talking about, what they're expressing, their mannerisms, the way they move, the way their body flows to what they're talking about. That's amazing to watch. And when you hear it out loud, it's different. Now, when you read it, you can receive it the same way. I think maybe it's just based off of people like to read or people like to see and hear. You know what I'm saying? Because when you read, you can still feel it. But when you see it and hear it out loud, you can feel it just as much. That's an incredible feeling. That's why I say it really humbled me doing my first spoken word, because I'm used to writing, you know. I'm used to getting the good feedback from what I'm writing. And then when I did it out loud, you go into a whole different state of mind, you and what you're talking about and what you're feeling. And people listening to what you're saying is therapeutic in every aspect. So it's completely different to read it than to hear it. But I guess that is also based off if you like to read or if you like to hear it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I want to hear a poem.
You want to hear one right now?
Right now. Donnie on the spot.
Okay. Still here. I am still trying. The battle has not got the best of me, no matter how hard it tried to. Your problems are not all. They do not define you. The choices you make after going through is what will describe you. That picture is not perfect. That could never be painted. The person I was yesterday, today I'm not the same as. On many levels, I continue to grow and expand. So don't count me out. I still matter in ways after all that I've been through. I still make a difference, encouraging others that can relate to. God made me a woman to change the outcomes and opinions. I learned to receive those blessings. You have to be ready and willing. I am still here. As long as I'm still going, I will always be continued.
Okay, that's what's up. That's nice.
Thank you.
So where do you see your poetry and spoken word taking you?
I do want to do a book. I love doing spoken words. I love that type of energy. I see it taking me into being more of a motivational person than I'm setting out to do. As anybody in life, I've gone through my own trials and tribulations, and I'm just so determined to take those negative things and show people that positivity can come from it. So I want to do any and everything I can with it. That's my goal, to be a whole franchise with this. You know, start out with maybe opening. I do want to open up a spoken word type of lounge. I think those are really cool.
Yeah, they're dope.
Yes. And I want to invite every artist in, the rappers, the singers, the writers, all of them. I don't want them to feel excluded. And then I want to just franchise and just I want to be heard all over the world, you know, because I feel like all over the world people need to hear these types of things, that they might need that type of motivation or that inspiration. So definitely I want to go anywhere and everywhere that I can with this.
Yep, that is amazing.
Thank you.
That is amazing. So, I ain't gonna put you on the spot, but I am a little bit.
Okay.
You say you deal with depression and anxiety.
Uh huh.
How do they coincide with your poetry? Because I know some days you might have some dark days, and some days you might be. Oh, and then some days you might be down, because I have the same thing. I battle with
absolutely
the same thing.
This is for anybody that deals with bipolar, anxiety, depression. The way that I cope with it on my dark days is I actually write about how I'm feeling on that dark day. I think it's totally important to acknowledge how you're feeling in your moment where you might feel like you're not up to par, because if you ignore it, that's not reality, right? So I write about how I'm feeling on that day. And in all of my poetry, I always start out with the negative, and then I always end with the positive, because that's how I see the world. I see the world as, okay, it's so many negative things that you have to deal with. There's so many dark things that you have to deal with. How can you still be the light when you feel dim, when you feel like you can't come out of that? And for some people, to silence themselves, you understand? And for me, I have a daughter. You know, I don't want her to grow up and feel like I feel this way, so I can just silence it and it'll go away. That's not realistic. So let's talk about this, you know, let's bring this to the forefront and let's come up with as many positive outcomes and things that you can do. Like I meditate a lot. I didn't believe in medication, but I do take medication. And you do have to have like a regimen, you know. So for me, I like to meditate, and music and writing helps me. So to each is its own. Everybody has a thing that can help them. But once you acknowledge the problem, you can come up with the solution. But I want that to be a very important and imperative thing for people to realize, that you have to acknowledge that you do have a problem so that you can deal with it. It's not ideal for you to just, okay, I can just skip how I'm feeling today. You know, I just won't get out of the bed today, so it'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? Tomorrow when I wake up, it'll be different. You're just going into a different day with the same problems. You know, you want to face your problems head on. And you want to acknowledge that there is something wrong so that you can overcome that. And depression and anxiety, I don't want to be stereotypical here. I don't want to be controversial. But in some families, you know, it might be a thing that you might overlook, you know, because some people might feel like, oh, that person's just crazy, you know. That person that you said might just be acting crazy, might have a real problem that they're battling that they can't deal with because they feel like nobody understood them or they heard them. Or a lot of people might be brushed under the rug or kept in that household. You can't keep it in the household and expect for like a positive resolution. You know what I'm saying? There's no such thing as if you overlook a problem that it goes away. It just gets worse with time.
Suck it up.
You can't, you know what I'm saying? You can't do that. And I've talked to many different people and, you know, different environments and stuff. You know, it can be quite controversial when you start this conversation. I'm not trying to be that way, but some people are just like, you know, what goes on in this house stays in this house, you know, or that person is acting crazy and this and that. You can't do that, you know, because when you do that, you're ignoring a real problem, a real issue. And that's not solving anything.
Like for me, my depression and anxiety has me like, it's me against the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you do to help you?
I take meds.
Mm-hmm. Really, I just take my meds and just, I don't know, I just write how I feel, you know what I mean?
I'm like a retro hippie, so I totally can relate to, like, not agreeing with medication. I wanted to do everything that was natural. You know, I got into the herbal thing, so, okay, this can help. But sometimes you do need some extra help because you have a chemical imbalance. So you need something that will balance you out, you know, because you can't do it by yourself. And that's okay. That's what I want people to know, that it's okay that you can't control everything going on inside of your mind, but you can help it. You know, you can help yourself acknowledging and doing everything you can to... Now, let me be clear, too. It's not saying that you're not going to have those weird days. You're going to have those weird days, but you'll know how to properly deal with them, and you'll know how to be like, okay, I got to feel this right now, but maybe tomorrow it won't be like that. You know, you don't have to be... I feel so sad for people that are, like, so depressed all the time and just stuck in that mindset and feeling like that's how they have to be, with no type of treatment, no type of outlet. That's not a way to live your life, you know. And that's what made me do my poetry, because I live very out loud and I come with something very powerful and very strong to say. And I'm not afraid to give you that rawr, you know. I'm not afraid to come with a little bit of oomph, you know. I'm coming with a lot of attitude, and I get that. But I'm coming with that because, you know, people feel like depressed people or people with an anxiety are weak, and it's not a weak thing. It's not. You're not weak because you have that problem. You're not.
See, that's my problem. I give them that wah, that roar, that
Okay.
You know,
that,
and
that roar.
I don't take my meds like I don't take my meds like I'm supposed to, because, you know, if I do take them like I'm supposed to, I gain 30 pounds, mm-hmm. and I can't handle the weight, so I just stop taking it so I can lose 30 pounds. And then I was like, oh, well, I'm going to get the weight back on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about that. It's about because I have a chemical imbalance. And my meds make me sleep all the time. I will sleep for 8 hours, and then when I wake up, I still feel tired, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, what's so sad about depression or anxiety is not just a mental thing. It affects you physically as well. Sometimes you feel tired, or sometimes you feel a way you don't even know why you feel that way, you know, because you have no control of it. But it is important to have a regimen. So if you don't take your medication, you know, like you're supposed to, try to get some type of routine, or maybe like you meditate or you walk or you do something that calms you and eases your mind, because you do need some type of structure, because that structure will make a difference on the dark days, you know.
And you know, for me, I would be depressed for weeks on end.
Mm-hmm. And people couldn't even tell. People will be laughing and joking with you, and they wouldn't be able to tell that you're in a weird spot. That's what I'm saying. You can't always tell when somebody is upset. You can't always tell when somebody's going through something. People do a good job of hiding that.
Exactly. You feel like nobody loves you, and
nobody understands.
Yeah, you're stuck in a situation where it's like, don't you hear me? Mm-hmm. Don't you see me?
Don't you see me? Yes, because you feel like you're misplaced in a world full of filled of all these people that don't even see you. You know, that's the bad feeling. But that's where poetry became my thing. Like, you know what? Nah. I'm gonna be the light. You know, I'm not gonna let the dark take over me. I'm gonna acknowledge the fact that dark has tried to take over me, but I'm still gonna advocate and let people know it's not going to. And I want people to be more comfortable with who they are and what they're going through, because some people are not. Some people don't want to talk about these things. Some people like to ignore it or make excuses, you know. And I'm in a point in my life where I'm breaking, like, generational curses. You know, I have a daughter.
Yeah.
I have good things going for me. So I decided I'm not going to be that person that just tries to slide it under the rug and maybe I can deal with it tomorrow. I'm going to deal with it right now, you know. And dealing with
because our parents, they don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. And then, you know, it doesn't mean that it's easy. When you're trying to heal or overcome obstacles, it's not easy. In fact, those obstacles get worse because you're trying to get better. People sometimes run away from the truth, or they run away from the hard parts in life because they feel like it's too hard. And I was always the person like, no, I'm gonna keep on doing this because I refuse to wallow, or I refuse to. I speak so strongly for women when it comes to depression, but for anybody when it comes to depression, do not let that consume you in a way where it makes you feel like you cannot come out on top. That's bullshit. Excuse my language. But you can. You can come out on top. And you will be better and stronger because of it. It's a tool. I look at my depression as a tool. As a tool to help me navigate through this world, which is already twisted, okay? The world's already twisted. And now you might look at your mind because your mind's twisted. Okay, so let me try to untwist it and navigate it through the way where I feel like I can be happy, you know, because that's the ultimate goal, is to have a peace of mind. Peace is important. That's what you should aspire to have and to gain, you know, not all this other crap that people are talking about. Your peace of mind, period. Period.
Definitely. So how can people contact you on social media and find some of your work?
Okay, so on Facebook, I have a poetry page. It's KelsFields, Facebook. And I have a podcast on Spotify, on this app called Anchor, and also on your Apple Podcast. And it's called Ascension, A-S-C-E, Ascension, can't remember right now, Ascension Poetry by Me on Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Again, that's Ascension Poetry by Me on Spotify, Anchor, and Apple Podcasts.
All right. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm not going to hold you too long, but I know how you is. You like me. You got 80. ADHD.
No, I just have a busy schedule. I enjoy being on here. And listen, what you're doing is amazing. Okay?
Thank you. You're incredible. Thank you.
Don't stop doing what you're doing, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, have a good night.
I want to thank you all for tuning into the Office Lounge tonight. Man, it was a great show. And tune in next week to the Office Lounge, presented by Drifter Mike, 646-378-0355. And I'm your host, Arthur Hazard. Thank you, and have a good night.